Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, everyone. This is Dorian Wallace, and as always, my lovely sister, Raina.
I'm always Raina. What the fuck?
Okay, you can be Fred today. How's that?
I want to be Fred. Fred can kiss my ass.
All right. Well, what if it was Fred Rogers? He was nice.
He's dead. Thanks. That's not helping.
All right. Anyway.
All right, so let's just fucking tell everybody straight up front. We are both sick, okay?
Yes. Again.
Sick, I tell you. Sick. No, not again. Well, you're again. No, actually, the last time we had this guest, something. For all you conspiracy crazy people, this is the second time I have been sick. And it is our second visit from this same exact guest as the last time I was sick. Now, what does that mean? Okay, never mind.
I think you're stretching me a bit to share.
Well, you know what? I think sometimes the conspiracy front stretches everything a little too fucking far, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, well, you can read anything into anything. You know, I mean, there's, you know, Hollywood has taught us over the years, and, you know, brilliant writers, it's just like, oh, there's always, you know, not always, but there's a hidden agenda, and there's this, and there's that. It's like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes coincidences can be friggin' freaky.
I'm just saying.
Know?
Yeah. I know about coinky dinks.
Coinky dink.
We used to call them coinky dinks. Coincidence. Anyway, do your shout out so we can get this fucking show started, would you please?
All right. I'm gonna give first of all, I would like to extend our sympathies and our hearts to the East Coast up further than where I am right now that got hit by Sandy and are still dealing with the outfall. And that's including my aunt and my uncle, you know, most of my family, but
my family is mostly up there too. I agree with you.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're listening tonight, Jess. I know, you know, I think you guys are still out of power, but if you are listening, I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips, and a warm blanket. And send you up some power, too.
Oh, that was sweet. I like that. You did a nice one. I'm such a shitheel.
You're not.
Oh, I am. Karen. You're the nice one. I'm the evil one. That's okay. I'm good at being evil. Any fucking way. So, here's the deal, y'all. Not for nothing, but I just got to say, you bitches better be voting. And you guys hear me a lot as far as this topic goes. You need to fucking vote. I know there's a lot of people who say, oh, one's not better than the other. Or it's all the same thing. Or our vote doesn't count. You know what? I have to tell you. Even if you want to believe it is an act of futility, that is okay. Do it anyway. Just make the old bitch here happy. Just fucking do it anyway. And whatever it is, try to vote for whatever is less evil. Okay? Try to vote for whoever it is going to protect a bitch's rights to do what she needs to do with her own body. I'm just saying. Do these things. I know you guys hear me talk about this a lot. It is important. It is still important. I am well past childbearing age. But that does not matter. A loss of rights to one of us is a loss of rights to all of us. Our gay
exactly.
and lesbian families, our people who need services, this whole thing about, you know, let's privatize it all and, you know, this and that and the other thing, ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's just absurd. I can't believe that in this fucking day and age, we are still talking about whether or not gay and lesbian people should be allowed to fucking marry. Are you serious?
Right.
Get the fuck over
yeah.
this bullshit. People are people. Shut the fuck up.
There you go. Get them.
I'm serious. And this is, you know, and the fact that a woman has to still fucking wonder whether or not she is going to continue to be allowed to have control over her own body. You know, there are some things that are just a fucking toss of the dice. We have a guest who's been on a couple of times, Rob Grillo, whom I love and adore. And I understand that there are certain people who feel that you should have an equal say whether or not you're carrying this fetus because it's partly your DNA. You know what? That's just the luck of the draw. I'm real sorry for you. It's still my fucking body. When you can take a turn and do 5 months of the carrying, then maybe we have a reason to have a discussion about whether or not we should keep what I'm growing. Hello?
There you
Thank
go.
You.
See, that would actually be perfect. You know, we could carry the baby till, like, you know, you're 5, maybe 6 months, because that's still the good period. And then it give them the last 3 months. I mean, seriously? Oh, yes, we should totally give them the last 3 months.
Abortion would be a sacrament, I'm fucking telling you. And quite frankly, what does this mean about women who elect to have their tubes tied or women who need to have, you know, any other kind of DNC or some kind of hysterectomy? What is there now, you know, are these morons going to say, oh, no, you have to keep it even if it has cancer in it because, you know, that, you know, God may do a miracle? Well, you know what? Lots of gods do lots of miracles, but there's a certain level of personal responsibility that you have to take for yourself. And if the government's going to stop you from doing that, you have been set up to fail.
Exactly.
Period. I don't see any other way around it. And I know I'm on my soapbox, and I'm really sorry, but it is a soapbox kind of night. Talzin, our wonderful Talzin, is going to come on and join us in a little while. And y'all know, if you have heard this man before, he makes me look like a complete and utter pussy when it comes to politics. Y'all know how strongly I feel about my fucking politics. This is how your life will be conducted. You will be controlled by other people. We are controlled now by other people. Who do you want to control you? Someone who says, okay, shit happens and maybe you need to get something taken care of? Or the other team who says, it's your lot in life. Whatever happens, it's all supposed to happen, and you just have to make the best of it. They're great at making you keep your legs closed for the actual, abortion so that you can't have the procedure. But I don't see these motherfuckers lining up to support the child once it's born. Now, get a group
exactly.
of those people together, and you know what? Maybe there will be women who will reconsider having the abortion, because you know what? Abortion is not happy time. Let me just remind people. It's not like you wake up one morning and say, manicure or abortion? Really? No. It is one of the most difficult decisions a person ever has to make. Ever.
Yeah.
And yes, if you're curious, I am speaking from experience. It is a devastating decision to have to make. I'm not ashamed. I could have really ruined not only my own life, but the lives of three other people if I did not do what I was supposed to do. And you know what? It was the right decision for me because I was in a bad situation. Okay, enough about me. The fact of the matter is that you don't want someone setting you up for failure for your whole life. Try to choose the team that will at least allow you a shot. Just saying, that's my soapbox. There you go.
And I got to say, and I sent this to Taliesin earlier because I wanted him to look at it before he came on air. It's looking more and more. I am going to actually send this link and put it in the blog spot or the blog talk radio. Mitt Romney may possibly be brought up on legal charges. So he may not be, even if he gets elected, which highly doubt. It's still very important to get out there, but this Joker has been hiding a lot of money, which we knew, but these hedge funds and secret interest in Delphi through a limited partnership, it's looking more and more like those two are going to wind up in cuffs.
It's very underhanded. And to our Republican listeners, and there are some of our pagan friends who are Republicans, let me just tell you, the team you want to vote for wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Even if you are making over $100,000 a year, they are not on your side. You are not rich enough for them to give a shit about your feelings or anything else about you. So seriously, don't vote against your own best interests. Think about the things that your family needs, that your mother needs, that your children need. I will tell you, one of my biggest reasons for supporting Barack Obama is because my kids can still have health care until the age of 26.
Yeah.
Now imagine at 21 or 20, getting your own health care. How many of us went without health care because we figured, oh, we don't need it, we're young? Guess what? Shit happens. Accidents happen. Conditions happen out of nowhere that people don't expect. I mean, you have to have it. You have to have it, or you will be ruined. If something, God forbid, that anything should ever happen to you where you are sick, it's all over. You will be owned by your debtors. I'm just saying, it's a
They've already got it going that way with the friggin' student loans. I mean, people are, like, my age, just barely paying off their student loans from, like, 1993, 94.
The president of the United States, okay, by the time 2008 rolled around, had only been a couple of years out from under his student loan. Want to know why he got out from under his student loan? Because he wrote a best-selling book. That's how they paid their loans back. He and Michelle had student loans, okay, that they were still paying off while he was in Congress. I'm just saying. That's not cheap. That is not cheap. A Harvard education is not cheap. Now, think about your struggle just at the thought of having to put one child through college, even a local community college. A semester can cost you $2,000 to $3,000. I'm speaking again from experience. And
I know.
This is not a child. This is not a child who has gone away to school. This is where the child was raised. This is where he has lived 99.9% of his life, because we moved to North Carolina when my younger one was 6 weeks old. So quite frankly, he has spent his whole life in North Carolina, and even at a community college, it is not cheap. You got to think about these fucking things, because these bastards that want to privatize everything, they want you to be poorer. They don't want you to have the chances that their little elite selves have. Think about it.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. I really don't. You know, it's like, okay, what's going on in Iceland? Which, you know, I've not been able to find too much information, but because nobody's talking about it. But in Iceland, they have overthrown the banks. They let them go bankrupt and got their sticky fucking fingers out of every aspect of civilian life, you know, that they had their tendrils in. You know,
wow.
And the economy over there right now is thriving. I mean, people are doing so well. And it's like,
How are they managing without banks, though? I'm kind of confused.
Well, no, they let them go bankrupt, and I guess, I don't know, hold on a second, let me look it up real quick, because I've found very few little informative pieces, but I think, you know, they opened other banks. These are like the big banks, like, you know, and I'm going to call their asses out, like, you know, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, who, you know, I used to really like Wells Fargo because I grew up in California. I was excited about them coming out. Nice people, but I swear, you know, they're still corrupt. They just, like, evicted some woman who has cancer, didn't even let her get her medication. She's going through chemotherapy, you know, and evicted her at gunpoint, even though a judge ordered that she could stay in the home.
Wow.
You know, to not do this to her right then. They were like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to do what we want. And this shit kind of shit needs to stop. And we need to take it back.
I agree.
You know? I mean, a lot of people make fun of the friggin' Occupy movement. But, you know, it's like, it's going to have to come down to, like, a revolution at some point. We are going to literally have to turn around and just say, you know what? You're not going to fucking bully me anymore. Enough. You know, our children are starving. Our children can't get a good education. You know, basically, a 4-year college degree has become like a high school education. It doesn't count for shit, basically.
Tell me about it.
You know, you have to have it. Yeah, you have to have that in order to do anything. It's ridiculous. And if you can't afford to go to school.
I have a college education. You know what I'm qualified for? To correct other people's mistakes. That's what I'm qualified for. And I have a degree. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Again, please forgive us, everybody. We are somewhat both under the weather.
Yeah. So we're grumpy.
I'm grumpy and fired up. I'm fired up and ready to go because, quite frankly, I think that people need to realize what they're, you know, what's the backstory on the team you're about to play for. It's important to know. But I'm certainly, you know, just because I think it's going to go one way doesn't mean people should not vote and do what needs to be done. That's the only way your voice is heard. It is one of the few times in life where I do believe your voice is heard.
Yeah.
You know, let me remind people about the Bush-Gore election, in case anybody has forgotten that it came down to a handful of votes, okay?
Yeah.
If you feel strongly about a certain candidate, they get your motherfucking ass to the voting booth, because I'll tell you what, that the one time you get lazy and don't do it will be the time you fucking regret it. Trust me.
Yeah. And honestly, that's another thing I want to bring up to him is the Electoral College. But Before he comes on, because it's like almost 20 after, I want to hear what you've been watching this week.
Well, I have to tell y'all, I have run gamut on shitty TV, so I decided to watch something completely different and go back to the stuff I like as far as reality TV. I have been watching The Real L Word.
I didn't realize there was a show called that.
There is a show called The Real L Word. I am in love with it. I love the women on it. It's just, you know, it's, you got to demystify the shit that you don't know about. Now, I do know a lot about lesbians. I'm openly bisexual. People know this about me. So to me, it's like the other half of my life. And y'all, if y'all call me greedy, I'm going to be pissed. That's not what it's about.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you. Okay, so, you know, I highly recommend it. It's really funny. Some of it's really sad. It's just real people. So if you have someone in your family who just doesn't get the gay lifestyle and they don't understand, normal people, they are just normal people. But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like a soap opera like everything else. So that's what I've been watching. That's what I've been enjoying. I love the show. It's like season 3. I'm adoring it. I've got my favorite characters. Two of my favorite characters are getting married, although one of them wasn't always my favorite character. Whatever. So definitely check out The Real L Word. It's an enjoyable show. There's love, there's sex, there's breaking up, there's getting back together. It's got everything.
Yeah.
It's just normal.
Real
people.
Life.
It is. It's real.
That's
fucking
awesome.
Life. I know. I love it. So anyway, if you get to check it out, I like it. It's, you know, but that's my taste. So, Missy.
Cool. Yes, ma'am.
That would be you, madame.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have your cards at the ready?
No, go fish. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't ask
actually
you Jesus, bitch. I asked if your tarot cards were there. Hello? Damn.
Anyway, yeah, we're in a goofy mood.
We're tired.
Yeah. That's,
so that's why we're acting like, I don't know what the fuck we're acting like. Do you have your cards out?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, you want to start? Because I'm still pulling mine out.
Okay, well, I need to shuffle real quick. Hold on.
Okay, go sing your song, because I'm shuffling, too. Every day
yeah.
I'm shuffling.
I'm shuffling. No, never mind. I can't sing techno.
Somebody needs to tell me I'm shuffling, so you have to, like, tell me.
Okay. Now.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes. I'm getting ready to pull my three.
Okay, ready? One. Pull one.
Okay.
Pulling two. Three.
And third one. Okay. Ooh. I don't like that.
I don't like this either. What do you got?
Okay, my first card is You Will Be Betrayed.
I don't like that. My first card is Unexpected Money. I do like that.
You know... I've got my last card is Unexpected Money, but it's reversed.
No, mine's straight.
My second card is A Chance to Make Money.
My second card says Pay Debts to Escape Trouble.
Ha! Okay. So the third one I have is Good Financial News. Yay! Holla!
And my third card says Love's Labor Lost. I don't know what that means.
I kind of do with the situation you're going through right now. You know,
we will have to discuss that off the air.
Yes, exactly. That's why I'm like, yeah, nothing.
I'm not going to quote you. I'm not going to do it. No. Anyway. So what I'm getting for this, from this, is be careful with who you tell what secrets to. You kind of know who's going to blab, not you in particular, but whoever this is for. Yeah, it's actually no. Okay. This is you. This is you.
Me?
Yeah. So we'll talk about that on air. The impression or off air. Yeah, we'll talk about it on air.
I'd rather not.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's nothing bad. It's nothing terribly bad. But yeah. This is dealing with you.
I'll deal with you later.
I'll deal with you later. It's cutting for you.
Well, I'm actually going to talk about mine.
Okay, go ahead.
The unexpected money is not for me. The paid debts to escape trouble, I already did. Love's
okay.
labor lost is not me either.
Okay.
So first and third are not me. First and third are somebody else. I already paid off my debt. Actually, because I already paid my debt prior to what I'm about to do, and I've already put, like, you know, I've already paid bills for this month that aren't even due yet. So I don't think, actually, I don't think any of this applies to me.
Okay.
I think, however, it applies to you.
Okay.
So, yes. You and I will talk offline later because I think you read for me and I read for you. And anybody else out there who's picked up on something, we hope it means something to you that's useful as opposed to this bullshit right here.
I just think it's funny.
Yes. What's funny?
Yeah. Oh, nothing. That, you know, it's like usually when we do readings, it's usually for everybody else. But yeah, this time, yeah, mine was pretty much for you.
Okay. Well, you better hold those cards out and not put them away because there's gonna be a quiz at the end of the show.
All righty. Like at the end or.
after the show, wise ass, you know what I mean.
I know.
Isn't it guest time?
It's almost guest time. I'm just waiting for him to call in. Why is this doing this to me? I don't know what is wrong with my shockwave, but it keeps crashing on me. This stupid computer, I need a new one.
You need a new computer. You need a phone, too. I'm sick of this fucking phone. Anyway. So, yeah, basically, I've come down real sick. You're sick. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. I don't know what else to say about that. Let's see. What else is going on? Oh, yes. Show announcement. Next week. Who do we have next week?
We have Jade Soul Luna.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We have Jade Soul Luna next week, the 9th. Also, show announcement, the week of the 16th and the following week, which is the Thanksgiving Friday, we will not be on the air. So we are taking another break. It's like people are like, y'all take a lot of fucking breaks. Yeah, I'm a tired bitch. I need me some breaks.
But the good news is, when we return, we are returning with Miss Lori Bruno, Nona herself.
Yes, and some of you may or may not have remembered, we had Nona scheduled for my birthday show, but her schedule with Opening Magicka was so heavy duty, and my birthday was so laid back that we were like, can I have the night off? And my sister was gracious enough to say, yes, ma'am, you may have the night off for your birthday weekend. So,
of course. Anything for my sister.
Yes, the first week of December. Is that the, no, wait, is that November 30th? Yes.
Yes, November 30th, because we're going to be off the 16th and the 23rd. So we're taking the 23rd off because it's Thanksgiving and, you know, we've got family stuff to do. So we love y'all, but we will be posting, like, older shows and stuff.
And stuff.
Oh, excuse me.
We're good on the and stuff. All right, you know what? It's 9:30. Where is my guest?
I was just going to say he's in the queue, so I'm going to take a sip of water so I don't cough in his ear first thing.
Oh, that's a good idea. Me too. Everybody sip of water so you're not coughing.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to go back to, I've got a disposable electronic cigarette, and I'm trying to go back to those so I can get off the regular cigarettes. So
yes,
it kind of dries my throat out. Yeah, I've had it with the regular ones. So, yeah. Anyway, so you ready?
I'm ready. Where's my guest?
All right. Hey, Taliesin, you there?
I am here. How are you two doing?
Hello, Taliesin. Hi, Papa. How you doing?
Reasonably groovy and moderately far out. How y'all doing?
We're doing
sick,
pretty good.
But we're all right. We're happy to hear you.
Yes, I be here. Fresh off of looking on the internet, looking through tons and tons of real estate ads, my wife and I are in the process of trying to find a house to buy. So it's a maddening situation. So,
congratulations. Aww. May you find the perfect residence for your persons.
We are attempting. So and between doing that and homeschooling my kids, and of course now I have like everybody and their uncle sending me stuff, trying to get, like, accurate political information for their blogs and that sort of thing. I am busier than a fact checker during one of Romney's stump speeches. It's awful. It's awful.
Speaking of which, I have gotten more phone calls for this campaign than I have altogether during any other presidential election.
Yes.
I get 3 to 4 calls per day from the Romney campaign, and the Romney campaign is very clever. They actually find out your name, and there's a pre-recorded message with your first name like he's your friend. This motherfucker is not my damn friend. The Obama campaign only calls about 3 times a day now, but they do come to the door.
I've done that. I've been one of those people coming to the door. As a matter of fact, during the 2008 campaign, I took my son, who was then 5 years old, campaigning door-to-door with me because I knew it was going to be a historic election, and I wanted him to be able to say when he got older that he was campaigning out there, campaigning for Barack Obama. So it was a good time.
That's so cool.
Awesome. I have early voted. Have you, Taliesin?
Well, I haven't, but the thing is, I am living in a town in Ohio called Cuyahoga Falls that's pretty Republican. So you know what that means. We've got a ton of voting machines. There's never a line. If there is a line, they make sure they keep the polls open way longer just to accommodate everybody because, you know, the governor and all those people in Columbus just assume that keeping Cuyahoga Falls open is going to be good for their friend Willard Mitt Romney.
Yes.
So I really have no problems. In fact, if I went to early vote, I'd stand in a much longer line than if I just wait till election day. But that's just because of where I live.
I understand. I had a moment of sincere pride that I must share with you, Taliesin, and my sister. When Barack Obama was first elected, my younger child was too young to vote. I got a phone call today that said, "Hey, Mom, guess what I just did?" And I said, "What'd you do, darling?" And he said, "I voted for Barack Obama." A moment of joy and happiness as a mom. I'm just saying. Taliesin, you know, a lot of our fellow pagans want to kind of stay under the radar, and off the grid, as it were. Please explain to the folks why the pagan vote is so important.
Well, it's vital. I mean, anytime you're part of a minority religion in any culture, you don't really have the luxury of you know, being lazy. Because of the fact of the matter, when you get people who are trying to demagogue people, when you have rough economic times like we've been having, it's very easy to become the scapegoat. Now, we've kind of escaped things because since 2001, the favorite scapegoat of the Republican Party has been anybody with a tan, basically, and they call them a Muslim,
yeah.
And they just dogpile on them. It could have been much, much rougher for us had that not happened. But the thing is that, you know, there's still, the Republican Party is not becoming more tolerant. They're becoming far, far more intolerant. They're swinging farther and farther to the right. I mean, just to give you an idea, back in 1996, a moderate Republican, their position on abortion would be something like, well, only in the first trimester. That was a moderate Republican in the 96 campaign when Bob Dole had his ass handed to him by the big dog Bill Clinton. That was a moderate Republican was like, well, we can keep it legal, but only in the first trimester. Nowadays, the moderate Republican is somebody who wants to completely outlaw abortion unless you've been raped or incest or life of the mother. So that, you know,
they're all about, like, even if it's rape, it's a gift from God. It's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I'm a married woman. If I got raped, I would be forced to have somebody else's child? I don't think so.
Although you got to admit, though, that's the thing, is that the Republican Party has become such an echo chamber. And they've been just trying to out-conservative everyone else, and their base is so ridiculously out of the mainstream that it is actually helping those of us who do not want to see Republicans do something, say, like take the Senate. Because back in 2010, when the Tejadas took over the House of Representatives, the Senate was supposed to flip, too. Everybody was saying that the Senate was going to flip Republican just the same way that the House did. But what happened was is that all of the moderate Republicans, all the fiscal guys, all the people who are just kind of like into taking the money and running and not really caring about social issues, they lost their primaries. They lost them to the hardcore Tea Party candidates. And because of that, because you had people like Sharon Angle running in Nevada, because you had people like Christine O'Donnell running in Connecticut, and you had all these people who were just ridiculously out of the mainstream, the Senate stayed Democratic, and we can see how important that's been over the past couple of years. This time, too, the Democrats had a very difficult map to defend. There were something like 20 Democratic seats up for reelection, as opposed to only, say, about 10 of the Republican seats. There were 20 Democrats who were having to fight for re-election. There were a lot of first-term Democrats who got swept in 6 years ago in the beginning of the Democratic wave. And really, the Republicans were really looking at the Senate as something that they could have taken. But what did they do? They elected people. They nominated people like Todd Legitimate Rape Aiken. They nominated these people who not only are crazy, but they talk crazy. They don't even have the good sense to be like Romney and lie about everything. They're proud about being fucking whack jobs. And the more they do that, the Senate's going to stay Democratic this time. They've blown their chances for the second straight election because they keep nominating people who make Hannibal Lecter look like Mr. Rogers. It's actually kind of fun for me to watch, tell you the truth.
Yeah. I know, but, you know, but that's part of the concern I have with some of our folks who don't vote. Because every time you have one of our people, and when I say our people, I'm talking about people in the pagan community, every time one of our people doesn't vote, it almost emboldens them. It's another vote that doesn't send the message of, we're not going to tolerate this kind of bullshit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
I think it's really... I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's something I've seen on the left far too often, and it's basically, you know, it's one thing if somebody just comes out and says, politics confuses me and I don't like to think about it. But what really pisses me off in the pagan scene are people who seem to disassociate themselves from the political process, and they try to make it out like it's some sort of great character point on their part, where they'll be like, oh, man, the whole system's corrupt, man, I ain't dealing with any of it. What they're really saying is, I'm a fucking moron, I have very shallow thought process, and I don't want to bother to educate myself as to what's going on, so let's find something that sounds really cool as a cop-out, and then go on and order another expensive T-shirt from the pyramid catalog or some shit like that. And it's almost elevating ignorance on the left to a point of pride. And it's like, look, let's let the jihadists and the rednecks on the Republican side do that. We need to have smart people who are involved and who are actually give a shit about what's going on. Because there's an article I wrote years ago, a rant called Pagans Get Involved or Else. And what it's talking about is that this stuff has very real-life consequences for people in our position, people of a minority religion, people of a religion that has, say, imagery that can easily be misconstrued by shallow thinkers. And if you allow too many people who just basically despise you to get into positions of power, they can make your life a living hell. And they can do things to you that, you know, people say, well, we've got the Constitution. But if you have people in power who aren't interested in enforcing the Constitution, it can take you years and thousands of dollars and legal hassles and things that really destroys families. That just makes everything way more difficult. So it's a very important political process, and it's not hard anymore. We've got Google, for fuck's sake. You can find out what's going on. Give yourself 5 minutes a night. Look at a candidate in your local area. Google their positions. Google the positions of the other person running. It's not brain surgery, okay? It's not difficult to do.
Right. I agree. I think it's just, you know, it's important to know who your representatives are. It's important to know people's positions on things that, while it may not affect your life in the immediate, it could very well affect the life of someone you love or affect you in the future. I mean, I'm not near retirement age, but my mom is retired, okay? Mm-hmm. So Medicare and Social Security are important for my mom. Now, I hope to live to be that age someday. So you really do have to pay attention, and not just when it counts for you. Because one day it will count for you, or it might count for you, or it might count for someone you love in a week. You don't know. That's why politics is really, it's not a fun game all the time. It's kind of messy. It can be confusing. Try to see what people really are about. But it's worth the effort, because, you know, there was a point in time I had a friend who needed assistance. And, you know, 6 months prior to her needing assistance was available. But 6 months later, when it became important for her to get that assistance, and this is a person who my sister and I know very well, and she suddenly realized, oh, wow, I can't get the assistance I need, because she was going through a divorce with her husband. And now all of a sudden what she needed wasn't there. And that's when, you know, sometimes a tragedy is when things click in for people. And she was like, oh, this is what you were trying to tell me before the election, and why it was important to not go the way she went. She since has learned, obviously. But, I mean, don't wait until it's too late. The team that wants to limit your rights or take your rights away, or take away the rights of someone else, one day that person could be you. Don't let this shit happen.
And also, you want to take a look at things really coming home to roost. I mean, one of the favorite themes of the Republican Party for the past 32-odd years is the idea that government is never the solution, government never does things right, only the private sector can ever run things properly, and that's been part of their move to try to privatize everything, to try to sell off what's normally done by the government and give it over to private industry. And one of the things that the people on the far right have been pushing for years is to privatize disaster relief. In other words, to take FEMA and to turn that money over to private industries to come in and help citizens when there's been a big disaster. And now you see, though, you take a look at New Jersey that was hit so hard by
yes.
Hurricane Sandy. I mean, they're facing a $60 billion recovery. The entire state's budget is only $30 billion. It's only half of what it's going to cost to clean up that mess. That's an instance where you need government. You need, because only government can coordinate the kind of supplies and the relief efforts. I mean, President Obama had supplies in place ready to be brought in, not from 2,000 miles away, but from 20 miles away. And you see that the response to the hurricane has been so great that Chris Christie, the Republican governor of New Jersey, who was the keynote speaker at the Republican National Convention, has been saying
yes.
more nice things about Barack Obama in 60 seconds than he said about Mitt Romney in a 20-minute speech. So
mm-hmm.
you take a look. There are certain things that we need government for, but this is the illustrating thing. It's very easy when things are easy and mellow and laid back and we don't have any major disasters to sit back and say, well, maybe we could sell this off. It doesn't work.
Right.
And eventually, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. There's, you know, I live in Ohio, the all-important swing state of Ohio. And let me tell you, if you guys think you are getting political ads, please.
Oh, God, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't
imagine, you know,
how many times that they've been there.
Oh, my God. They're going to be in Ohio. Barack Obama is going to be in Ohio every day up until the election now. Mitt Romney has been in Ohio a great deal. He hasn't been sending Paul Ryan here a whole lot after somebody threw an egg at his car. But,
I need to know your after you finish that point, I do have a question. Please continue.
Okay, I'm just going to say that in Ohio, we may not get hit with hurricanes, but we got hit by a nor'easter that was fed by Sandy, and we've got 100-some thousand people in up along Lake Erie who are without power still since the thing happened.
Yeah.
We live in Tornado Alley. We get hit with a lot of tornadoes. We've got a fault
yeah.
line that runs right through the upper part of the state. So there's lots of reasons why, even though we're not going to get hit with a Katrina or something like that, why we might need FEMA someday. And it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're in the southeast, you can have drought problems. You can have earthquakes. If you're in the northwest, you can have volcanic activity. Anywhere in this country, there's something where Mother Nature could just fuck you right up the ass. So you need to have that. You need to have stuff like FEMA. And, you know, you take a look at when people wondered, what has Barack Obama been doing so much over the last 4 years? Look at the difference between the response to Katrina and the response to Sandy. That right there shows you just how much work this man's been doing to restore the government of the United States to somewhat competence.
You know, I would love it if Barack Obama would just, you know, compile the list of all of the things that he's done, like killing Osama bin Laden and
right.
actually getting us on the road to recovery, and the way he does respond in a disaster, and the fact that he is an approachable, reasonable person. And I hate to say that people are racist, but I have never seen a president so disrespected during
yeah.
press
mm-hmm.
conferences and meetings. It galls me that this man is not given at least the respect they gave Bush, a fucking moron, got more respect and did nothing but get us into wars and crash our economy. You know, it's funny because people are like, are you better, you know, people have asked me, well, are you better off now than you were, you know, the typical question. Yes,
yeah.
motherfucker, I am better off. Because when Bush became, you know, just before Bush left, within a year prior, I had gotten laid off my job, and then I got rehired. Thank you, President Obama. I mean, seriously, yes, I'm making more money now than I was during my Bush years. Hello, my Bush years.
The Bush years, yes.
Seriously,
you know,
I mean, yes.
We don't need a Bush anymore. We just need a landing strip. That's all we really need. But anyway.
Hello. Thank you, Brazil.
Hello.
Anyway, but my question was, you know, it just astounds me because the Republican Party makes such a big deal out of, oh, we need a smaller government. So if we need a smaller government, why are you in my underwear?
Exactly. Well, see, the thing is that they use the term smaller government because it's a nice buzzword. But the fact of the matter is most of your big government expansions that have happened in the last 30, 40 years have happened under Republican presidents. George W. Bush created the Department of Homeland Security, the largest bureaucratic restructuring of government since FDR and the New Deal back in the 1940s. Ronald Reagan greatly expanded military spending and almost doubled the size of our military. It's not so much about shrinking government. The real question we have here is who is government going to serve? Who is government going to benefit? And really the two competing visions of who government is going to benefit is government going to be skewed towards benefiting the top 1% or the lower 99%? Are they going to be focusing, because the Republicans are not talking about smaller government. They're talking about slashing taxes for the top 1%, where they'll have to raise them for the middle class, but they're also talking about getting rid of government programs. And the government programs they're talking about getting rid of aren't the things that are going to affect the wealthy, things like cutting military spending or that sort of thing. They're talking about wanting to voucherize Medicare. They're talking about wanting to privatize Social Security. They're talking about wanting to eliminate the Department of Education. They want to scale back the EPA to the point where it's practically non-existent. All the things that are going to help common people. So it's not so much about smaller government. It's who is government going to serve and who is going to benefit from the size of government, because Republicans are all about increasing government when it lines the pockets of their friends. So that's the real question at play here in this election.
Explain to the folks what happens when you privatize. Say, I mean, everybody talks about Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Talk about what happens when you privatize public schools.
Well, that's been a big thing. The right, the Republicans really want to get rid of public education. They want to turn education into a voucher system, which, by the way, would cost a lot more money than we're spending on education right now. It would not streamline things at all, but what it would do would be to allow people to buy into private schools. And what happens when you do that is the schools, as much as people might have a frustration with this or that about the schools are very responsive to what the parents want. They're very easily swayed. If you get a bunch of pissed off parents showing up at a PTA meeting, not liking something, you can be pretty much assured that it's going to change. The thing about corporate-run schools is that the emphasis is going to shift. For one thing, the emphasis would be on, it would become like a corporate training center. They're not going to worry about training kids in the arts or in literature. They're going to teach them to be good workers. They're going to emphasize, things like conformity. They're going to emphasize rule following over critical thinking. Another thing you would see with a privatized school system is you would see specialty schools, schools that are going to really cater to the biases and the prejudices of the parents. You see this in some of the Christian schools that are out there. Christian schools like Bob Jones University only legalized interracial dating within the last 10 years between their students there.
How do they go over that?
So what?
How do they even have any say-so over that to begin with?
Well, if they found out that a student was in an interracial relationship, they would expel them, and they'd usually only expel the black one. But anyway, there's a lot of things. You could wind up seeing schools that are not going to teach about global warming, or they're not going to teach about contraception, or they're not going to teach about they're not going to teach about Thomas Jefferson. They're instead going to focus on, on like Phyllis Schlafly or some shit like that. You're not going to see real education. You're going to see a consumer-responsive system that is going to skip real education for playing to a market. And it would basically take a school system that's already in dire need of help, and it would just completely annihilate it. And the thing you have to remember here is that the Republican governing philosophy is that government is never the answer. That's what they genuinely believe. And so if there's anything that works in government, whether it's a public school that has a greater success rate than it has failures, or whether it's something like Social Security that has practically wiped out elderly poverty, or something like Medicare and Medicaid, which are a couple of the most efficient parts of our medical care system in this country, these things work so well that Republicans feel they have to destroy them because it ruins their governing arguments as to who works better, government or private industry. So it's not really wanting to make things run better. It's about having things follow the ideological purity of whatever their platform is.
Right. Yeah. Which still, and my next question is going to lead into my other question, which was about why is the Republican Party so interested in my vagina? Please explain to the folks what will be in danger if the Romney people get in and they are allowed to elect a number of Supreme Court justices.
Well, one thing you have to understand is that it's not so much Roe v. Wade that they're attacking. Yes, they want to overturn Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion. But there are other things. The anti-choice movement, the anti-abortion movement has never really been about abortion. It's been about a whole range of things. The Supreme Court case that the anti-choicers really want to overturn is Griswold versus Connecticut. Now, for those of you who don't remember, Griswold versus Connecticut is what legalized birth control nationwide. That is the court case that they really want to overturn. It's never been about abortion. Most of your hardcore anti-abortionists, who I like to call the forced birth movement, these guys, they're against contraception too. I mean, Prick Santorum during the Republican primary, that really looked much more like a pathetic Special Olympics event. He just came out and said what a lot of people in the forced birth movement have been angling for all the time, which is that contraception is immoral and therefore states should be able to ban it if they want to. And what more, the thing that the far right really wants to attack is the interpretation of the Commerce Clause. Now, this is getting a little wonky here, but basically the Commerce Clause in the Constitution is the one that says that the federal government has the power to regulate commerce between the states. Okay?
Okay.
And the way the Commerce Clause has been interpreted is that it gives government power over certain things that affect people beyond a single state. Now, for example, the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s, the reason why that was upheld and remained constitutional was because of the Commerce Clause. Just everything you can think of, whether it's civil rights legislation, environmental legislation, these things are all possible because of the Commerce Clause. And so if you get enough far-right justices on the Supreme Court, not only are you going to see abortion banned again, not only are you going to see birth control in jeopardy, but absolutely every piece of progressive court cases or legislation from the past 100 years, whether it's things like Social Security or the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, environmental protections and regulations, those could all be in jeopardy by having a court that swings too far to the right. And we've got 4 Supreme Court justices that are in their 70s. So easily the next president is going to get to appoint 1. They could possibly appoint 2, maybe even 3. So that's another thing that's really at stake in this election is the things that we take for granted, like the idea that, you know, if I decide, you know, like when my wife and I first got married, it's like we weren't ready for kids yet. And so I could go to the corner store and I could buy a box of Trojans and we could be relatively assured that things were going to work out okay. That type of thing would be in danger. The birth control part, any type of birth control could be in danger. Now, if you live in a state like Massachusetts or New York, they're not going to ban it. But if you live in anywhere that has Republican administrations, anywhere in the South, in Indiana, anywhere in the Plain States, in the central U.S., these are the places where you could easily find contraception completely illegal if Griswold versus Connecticut was overturned.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea about any of that.
Yeah, I've been I'm a policy wonk. I've followed this stuff since I was a teenager in the 1980s. But that is what's going on here. If you get them decimating the Commerce Clause, if you get them overturning Griswold versus Connecticut, then you know it goes way beyond just abortion. The anti-abortion movement has used abortion as a way to get to wedge people. Because let's face it, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of situations that call for abortion. It's, you know, it's a tragic thing when you got to do something like that. But the thing is that, you know, it's a tragic thing, but it's not the kind of thing that you want to leave to a bunch of men in Washington to decide.
Right.
But the thing is that people's ambivalence over the use of abortion, or the fact that, you know, a lot of us know somebody who abused it at some point when they were in their, like, late teens, early 20s. Someone who was just acting like a fucking moron about things, like, you
right.
know, oh, I'm not going to bother with the pill. I can always abort you if I want to. You know, these people stick in people's minds, and they use that to try to get in there and to get people to support candidates who say that they're against abortion, or they'll use terms like partial birth abortion or that sort of thing to try
right.
to touch people's hot spots. But once they get these people in there, it becomes the slippery slope. It becomes, like I said, nowadays, it's a standard thing for more and more Republican candidates to oppose abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. And in 31 states in this country, Ohio, where I live, being one of them, if a woman is forced to have her rapist child, that rapist could have child, parental, and visitation rights. So not only does this guy get to assault you, get to physically violate you, but then the state forces you to have his child, and then you have to deal with him for the next 18 years.
Unconscionable. That is just
yeah.
unconscionable.
31 states that could happen. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so disgusted now. I'm actually at a loss for words.
Yeah.
I always tell people.
I do have
to do one quick correction, because I actually did volunteer for years with Special Olympics, and The Special Olympics kids are some of the nicest people you will ever meet.
And far more intelligent than Todd Akin, yes.
yes. It's like, you know, they're such sweet people. And these people are just, these people up on the stage are just evil. I mean, it's like, what business is it of yours? I don't understand.
And you'll never believe who robocalled me today. I got a robocall today. From Mr. Frothy himself, Prick Santorum. Yes.
Are you kidding me? He's so around.
No, it was from the Faith and Family Coalition, which is a far-right fundamentalist Christian super PAC, and he was calling to encourage you to vote for a candidate with values. So it was... That's just so funny, though, because I loved how big of a profile good old Prick had in the debates in the Republican primary, because, you know, he is the best get-out-the-vote effort for Democrats you could ever find, is this guy.
Yeah.
And here's another nice little piece of good news. There's an excellent chance that we may be able to defeat Michelle Bachmann. Her polling numbers aren't good, and she just got destroyed in her debate against her opponent. So we got guns out for Michelle.
Yay!
Because that woman is creepy. I mean,
she is creepy.
Like, she's got that creepy stare.
Yes, and what about her husband, Marcus? Oh, my God. I mean, this is one of those guys. He's part of the Freddie Mercury Club, as in, you know, like you couldn't fucking tell, okay? Michelle
he
is crazy,
is
but
so...
Marcus is fabulous.
You know who it reminds me of? That the couple on, The Office, you know, where the little mean woman, the little blonde mean woman is married to the senator, and it's just like, you know, he's obviously got the hots for Oscar and is just not paying attention to her. And she's oblivious to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like just absolutely oblivious.
Oh, yeah. And again, that's the thing, too, is that one of the things you have to understand here, one of the reasons why the Republicans are fighting so hard in this election, and this is where I get to be very, very encouraging and hopefully uplifting to my friends on the left. And the thing that's going on here is that the electorate is changing. The U.S. voting electorate is changing. And the Republican Party, as we know it today, has an expiration date. And there's a lot of people inside the Republican Party who realize this. But one of the reasons why they so badly want to seize power this time and why they're even willing, even the base, is letting Mitt Romney pretend to be a moderate long enough to try to lie his way into the White House, because they know they've got to get it now. Because every election that comes, they are less and less able to be able to play the kind of politics that they're doing right now and have any prayer of winning. The Republican Party has completely screwed themselves, not only with women, not only with African-Americans, but with the fastest-growing segments of the voting population, Latino voters. They've lost Latino voters for a generation. And because of shifting demographics, within 8 years, not necessarily in 2016, but by 2020, you could see Texas going blue, voting Democratic in the presidential election off of the strength of Latino votes alone. And there's a lot of people in the Republican Party. George Bush's buddy, Karl Rove, years ago said that the Republicans had to try to court Hispanic voters. The problem is that the base of the Republican Party doesn't really like anybody who isn't really, really pale white. And even though they tried to talk about illegal immigration, really their whole meme is the evil brown people are coming, be afraid, be very afraid. And so the thing is that the Republican Party as it is within another 8 to 12 years is going to be a regional southern party. They will not be able to hold any House of Congress. They will not be able to hold the presidency unless they radically change. So the people who like the party as it is now, the hardcore money people, the hardcore social conservatives, they know that their time is very short, and they wanted to try to seize power so that they could try to screw things up, to change as much as they could, because it's far more more difficult to undo something that's bad than to prevent it from happening in the first place. But what you're going to see right now is that the party as it is cannot handle, it cannot stand, it cannot survive. So things are going to change radically. We need to hold ourselves together. We need to maintain a strong front. We need to resist this wave, because it's not something we have to do forever. Something is going to break. Something is going to change, and it's going to change in our favor. We just have to keep them from grabbing things this time. And I'm happy to say that come next Wednesday, we're going to be looking at a Democratic Senate and 4 more years of Barack Obama. So that's, it's working, but we got to stay strong. We've got to stay strong. We got to keep this final push in place. And just remember, it's not hopeless. It's not a slog that we're going to have to do for decades. If we can hold them back this time, then, they may not necessarily change in time for the next presidential election, but the next presidential election won't even be close, and we'll go from President Barack Obama to hopefully President Hillary Clinton or President Elizabeth Warren, one of the two. But
that would be awesome.
I would love it.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get
and if you want to, at some point, we can start talking about polling, too. But anyway.
My sister has a question, I believe, about the Electoral College.
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah. I wanted to ask you real quick if you got a chance to read that, the Romney. Oh, God, I cannot think of the word. The article.
The protection racket?
The extortion? The auto bailout bonanza thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mitt and Ann Romney profited heavily. They got about $115 million out of the auto bailout, the very one that he said was such a bad idea. And, for those of you listening who didn't get to read this article, basically what it was is that the Romneys, through Bain Capital, bought a company, I think it was called Delphic or Delphi, that produced parts for GM cars. And basically what they said is that unless they got a chunk of that bailout money, even though the company didn't need it, unless they got a chunk of that bailout money, they were going to withhold parts from GM, which meant that GM would have had to have shut down production. So basically they were threatening to take a company that was trying to fight its way back from the brink and just completely destroy it unless they got a payoff. And it happens in business all the time, but this was just particularly naked. They didn't even try to pretend that there was any, they didn't even try to pretend that the company really needed it. They just figured that there was money going out, so they ought to get some of it because why not? And it is one of those things that could easily be prosecuted later if anybody really had the political cojones to actually go and do it, which hopefully they would, because the government of Michigan is not really fond of the Romneys right now. But
The way it's looking is, you know, the only bracelets Marie Antoinette and shit Romney are going to be wearing are silver handcuffs.
Well, and also let's not forget too of the fact that Romney actually fundraised from non-U.S. citizens when he was in Israel, which is technically illegal.
Yeah, and in China as well. Bain Capital has a mansion there for the business people to go over and conduct their business.
Bain Capital they were pioneers in outsourcing jobs to China. I mean, really, a lot of our outsourcing culture as it exists right now would not have been possible without the pioneering work of Bain Capital. They've made a lot of money off that, and you know, what I find very humorous in a pathetic way is that they're finally being made to pay for it, but Bain Capital also owns a company that they are shipping the jobs to China. Sensata. I'm not sure if you've heard of Sensata, but it's been all over MSNBC.
No.
The Edge Show did a special live from Freeport, Indiana. Basically, Sensata is a company that creates parts for cars. I'm not sure if they make sensors or if they make camshafts, but it's a company that's always been located completely in the U.S. They're in Freeport, Indiana. And last year, in 2011, they posted their highest profits ever in that company. So there's an American job, employs over 800 people, and it's doing a bang-up job. And then the owners have been making money hand over fist. However, the owners are Bain Capital. And when the Chinese government came and said, well, if you move Sensata to China, we will build the factory for you, and we will supply you with highly educated workers to work in this plant, Bain decided to take it. And so not only are they taking this company that's been doing nothing but making more and more money, and they're shipping all those jobs to China, but they brought the Chinese workers over to Indiana and made the Americans working those jobs train their own replacements. And when those replacements showed up, the Bain people took the American flag in front of the Sensata Corporation. They took the American flag down and put the Chinese flag up in its place so the Chinese workers wouldn't feel out of place. So when Mitt talks about shipping jobs to China, he should know because he's doing it right now.
Yeah.
And it's been a big thing.
I'm sorry, I digress. You know, It's infuriating. And, you know, and you try to have a conversation with some people, like, I mean, some people that I consider highly intelligent, you know, people that I care about. And it's just, they're like, I ask them a question, like, okay, one kid I went to school with, you know, I'm like, okay, well, where are you getting your facts? Where are you getting this information? And he just spouts off like some Fox rhetoric. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Where are you getting this information? Where's the proof? Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this. And just kept coming back. And I was like, you know what? If you're not going to take this seriously, I'm not going to have this discussion with you. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. You know, I don't know, have you ever heard the phrase reality-based community? The left is called the reality-based community. And it sounds like something that we would say about ourselves. Like, we're the reality-based community, and those other cocksuckers are living in fantasy land. The thing is, the term reality-based community for the left in this country was actually coined by a Republican. It was coined by Karl Rove, who is also known as Bush's brain. He has a face kind of like Bush's ass, but that's another matter altogether. But Karl Rove said that you guys live in the reality-based community, and we Republicans create our own reality. But what that really has happened is that they've created an echo chamber where they put this stuff out, they say it to each other a bunch of times, it echoes all around there to the point where it sounds like to somebody who's in the right-wing noise machine, it sounds like it's coming from everywhere, therefore it must be true. And it's getting to the point where it's not so much competing visions on what we should do for the country, but it's competing visions of what is actually going on in the world. It's a complete and utter disconnect. So it's, you know, and I'll say this too. You know, you mentioned race a little bit ago. My yard mark, I mean, I will be the first person to say that not everybody who opposes President Obama is a racist. That would be an unfair assertion. But anybody who has to base their dislike of President Obama on lies, they are a racist. Because there are plenty of things to be – I mean, I'm upset with President Obama about things. I mean, I could list off a litany of things that I don't think he did right or he could have done better and that sort of thing. But it's factually based. So if somebody wants to say, well, it's this, this, and this, and I say, okay, well, those are valid points. But if somebody has to come out and say – you know, start throwing around words like socialist or government takeover of healthcare and that kind of stuff. When you have to start talking about lies for why you don't like someone, then the real reason must be something that you do not want to enunciate. So if somebody's basis for not liking the president is based on lies and outright falsehoods that have been debunked over and over and over again, then they probably are a racist.
Yeah.
And my sister, too, brought up the point that, you know, I wanted to ask you about the friggin' Electoral College.
Yes.
My least favorite thing on the face of this fucking earth is the Electoral College. Do you think there is a chance in our lifetime that we will see that disbanded? Because, you know, I'm sorry, I'm of the school that it should be the popular vote.
Right.
That's, you know, we are the people. We those are our voices. Why are they not being heard? Why are they being filtered?
Right. Well, the reason, actually, that's the funny thing, is when the Constitution was written and they were coming up with things like how we're going to elect presidents and that sort of thing, the Electoral College was something that the really, really smart people came up with because they knew that they were giving the vote to a large portion of people in the country who didn't know how to read. So they were just kind of worried that you could get some kind of demagogue, some kind of, even though this person wouldn't come into play for like almost 160 years, they were worried about somebody like a Hitler type who could talk really well and play to people's fears and try to grab power that way. And so the founders thought if they had something like the Electoral College, if there was somebody who was an obvious lunatic, that the Electoral College could act as a check and balance on that sort of thing. Not the type of thing that people like to think about, but that was their reasoning. Do I think that we're going to get rid of it? I really don't think that we're going to see the end of the Electoral College for one simple reason. Both sides know how to play it. Both sides have had an instance where they won the popular vote and lost the Electoral College, but both sides have also had the instance where they won the Electoral College even though they lost the popular vote. Both sides have been stung by it, and it's really the way that people are comfortable with it. And I'll tell you, until we change the way that we finance campaigns, until we put some way to put real-life spending limits, possibly a constitutional amendment to undo the Citizens United ruling, until we do something to change the money game in our politics, neither party is going to back disbanding the Electoral College, because disbanding the Electoral College would mean widening the playing field and needing to bring in even more money into the process. Now, if we had publicly funded campaigns where private contributions were banned, but any candidate got the same amount of money from the government to spread their message, kind of the way England does it. Or if we had a much truncated campaign season, like in England, when they call for elections, within 6 weeks the elections are over. From beginning to end of their entire electoral process is a month and a half.
Oh.
It doesn't last
God,
that long.
Oh, my God, that would be so fucking nice. Oh, my God.
But the way things are right now, yeah. Yeah, these campaigns really last 2 years these days, really, when you look at it. Romney's been running for almost 2 years to try to get this. But the thing is that none of the powers that be, no matter which parties are around when they actually try to do this, they're not really going to support amending the Constitution to ditch the Electoral College because of the fact that, like, you know, if you're a Democrat running for office, you know you don't have to spend a lot of time in California and New York. Those states are yours. They're locked down. They're not going to vote for a Republican. You're not going to have to worry about campaigning in Massachusetts. You're not going to have to worry about campaigning in Vermont. You're not going to have to worry about campaigning in Connecticut or any of these places, or Washington State or Oregon. You don't have to spend money there because those states are going to be comfortably yours. You also know that you don't have to worry about spending money in places like Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, that kind of stuff, because you know that you're not going to get those at all. You can concentrate your money on the swing states, the 8 or 9 states that don't have a solid voting pattern that could go for either side, and focus your race there. It simplifies things, and the parties are not going to support getting rid of that system unless we completely overhaul the entire way that we do campaigns. So that's just not going to happen. But I will say this too, though, is that this is one of the things that people have to remember, though, when they're looking at national polls. I've been wanting to talk about polls because one of the most common things I get in my email box is one of my liberal friends with their hair on fire freaking out over some poll they just saw, especially if it's a poll from the Gallup organization. Because the thing is that these national horse race polls, you know, these national horse race polls are completely meaningless. They do not mean a thing because we don't have a national race for president. We've got 50 individual races. And so, you know, a lot of people have said, why is it that so many of these state-to-state polls, especially in swing states, have been so favorable to President Obama, and yet the Gallup polls will show Romney like 3 or 4 points ahead nationally? And what you've got to understand is that, again, when you've got a winner-take-all system in the Electoral College, it doesn't matter how much you win or lose a state by. You either win it or you lose it. Now, if you take a look at 2008 when President Obama was running against John McCain, if you split the country into 4 regions, you've got the South, you've got the Southwest, Northwest, and Northeast. If you split it up into those 4 regions, President Obama won the Southwest, the Northwest, and the Northeast. And in the South, in terms of popular vote, he was essentially tied with McCain. McCain picked up pretty much all of the South except for North Carolina. But he won all of those states, but he won them by small margins, by 100,000 votes, 150,000 votes in a state with several million people, that sort of thing. Now, this time around, President Obama is winning the Southwest, the Northwest, and the Northeast overall as a region. But he's not winning it by as much. He won it by 12 points last time. Places that he won by 12 points last time, he's winning by 9 points this time. It's a smaller margin. Doesn't matter because he still wins it, but it's a smaller margin. However, in the South, where he was essentially even with McCain in 2008, this time Romney has a 22-point lead in the South. Again, that doesn't really help Mitt Romney because it doesn't matter if you win Texas by 9 million votes or by 12 million votes. You get the same amount of electoral votes. The thing is that Gallup is not weighing this. They're not weighing these numbers to go along with the Electoral College. So the fact that Romney is picking up way more votes in the South and he's picking up a few more votes in the rest of the country than McCain had doesn't really matter. It's really skewing the numbers to the point where it looks like he's doing far better than he actually is. But he's never been more than a 35% chance to win, even when he was doing his best. And Nate Silver at 538, which, by the way, if you want to know about numbers and polls and how to parse them, how to understand them, go to the New York Times. go read Nate Silver's 538 blog. The guy's one of the smartest people, and he does really, he breaks it down.
I'm a huge Nate Silver fan, please, yes.
He breaks it down perfectly in ways that anybody can understand. And today he just updated things, and basically if the election were held today, Barack Obama would win 312 electoral votes. You only need 270 to win. And once you get over 300 electoral votes, that becomes an electoral landslide. He puts it at 81% probability of a Barack Obama win and only about an 18% chance of a Mitt Romney win. So that's where the state, that's where it really stands right now.
That's a relief. Yeah. I feel better now.
See,
yeah, and he's had a pretty good track record with calling them. And that's why Republicans are flipping their shit.
And also, you know, they started to attack Nate Silver now, of course, usually criticizing him by looking too much like a nerd. Well, guess what? Nerds are really good at math, guys. It's like Bill Clinton said at the Democratic National Convention, it's arithmetic. So, you know, numbers don't lie.
Yeah, and I have to say,
what I just said to my sister today. We were talking about math, and I said, honey, no matter what you do to numbers, no matter how many different ways you try to recombine them, they will still come up to the same sum if you're adding them.
Right, right, and you know, and if you really want to, laugh really, really hard, go check out the Republican polling site unskewedpolls.com. It's really funny looking at that, the way that they try to invent this parallel universe where Mitt Romney is leading by 8 points in Ohio. There's not a snowball chance in hell. In fact, a new poll just came out today, an NBC Marist poll that has President Obama leading by 5 points in Ohio. My personal belief is that when it comes down to it, Barack Obama is going to win Ohio. He's going to win it by about 2.9 to 3 percentage points, but that's enough. He built up a good enough lead over the summer and early autumn so that when things tightened up, he'd be able to hold his lead. And, you know, that's another thing to remember, too. All through the summer, anybody on the left who had a brain was telling people that in the autumn, as we get closer to Election Day, the race is going to tighten. The numbers are going to tighten. It always happens. It doesn't matter. When Barack Obama won by over 8% against John McCain in 2008, that was from a point where he was ahead by 16 points, and then the race narrowed to 8 points by the time he actually won. And, everybody would say the race is going to tighten, it's going to tighten. And then when the numbers started to tighten, people started flipping out going, oh, my God, what's going on? It's doomsday. It's 2012 all over again. But, no, it's just a very predictable outcome. But I'll tell you, the one of the things, too, to remember is that Mitt Romney was chosen by the Republican Party faithful even though they don't like him. This is something that a lot of people on the left forget, is that the Republican Party, by and far, hates Mitt Romney. They don't like him. He has the lowest approval numbers of any party candidate within his own party since they started polling. Okay? He's never been over 50% approval rating in his own party, okay?
Wow.
Now, if you want to take a look at, you know, people start saying, oh, what's this election like? What other election is like this election? I'll tell you what this election is like. This election is like 2004, when you had a Democratic Party who thought that Bush was such a fuck-up and such a twerp that they could run Lennon's dog against him and they would probably be able to win. So they took somebody who wasn't very charismatic. They took somebody who wasn't particularly well-liked within his own party, John Kerry. They took somebody who was an obviously extremely rich guy and wasn't very good at hiding how extremely rich he was. I mean, George W. Bush was just as rich as John Kerry, but he could hide it better. He could look like a backwoods hick far easier than John Kerry ever could. But they took somebody who was very unlikable and ran him because they thought that it doesn't matter, we'll be able to take this no matter what. And they lost. Even though it was a much tighter race than this race than this one is going to be, they lost. And the Republicans this time, they picked Romney, who's not a very well-liked person. He's not very warm. He's basically a giant blue vein prick. Although he was definitely the most electable out of that entire pathetic clown shoes parade that was the Republican primary. But
I hate to interject, yeah. but we've got like 30 seconds left. I'm so sorry. No problem.
I could talk like this for hours.
we're actually going to ask you to come back at some point not too far after the election, if you would be so kind, sir.
Oh, we're going to have a gloat fest? That sounds awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
We would love to have you back. Tell me when. I'll be here.
Awesome. We will get with you off air, but for now we have to wrap up.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
So
and everybody, get out to the polls and vote. It is vital. It is important. And every time a liberal votes, it makes Rick Santorum cry.
Let's buy him some stock in Kleenex then.
Exactly.
Listen, thank you so much. We have links to Taliesin's stuff on our show page, do we not, sis? We will post them.
Yes, I'm putting more up as we speak.
Come check me out on Facebook. I'm always willing to chat up anybody, and all my stuff's very public. So even if there's no more room on my friends list, subscribe, and everything I do is very, very public.
Yes.
Exactly. We appreciate, we know you're busy right now, so we greatly appreciate you coming in and talking to us, and we look forward to talking to you again after Obama wins. Ha-ha.
Yes. Ta-da.
Ta-da. All right, folks, we are going to wrap up for the night, but we want to thank you for coming in and listening, and even you guys, that we greatly appreciate you listening, even if you can't make it for the live show. But we will see you next week with Jade Soul Luna, and until then, have a germ-free week. That's my wish for everyone.
Me too.
All right, everyone.
God's protect all right. you all. Have a good night. Bright blessings, everyone.
Bright blessings. Bye, guys.
Bye.